Greetings and regards to all my seniors, colleagues, and all the dear students. Today I'm going to present a lecture about hemovigilance and material vigilance. So first of all, I'm going to start with the topic hemovigilance. So we can say these are actually the components of pharmacovigilance only, but we need to study them because these are the updated things. There are many other new components too which are added these days, but today I'll be focusing only on hemovigilance and material vigilance. So first of all, talking about the introductory aspect of the hemovigilance. We all know that transfusion of blood and the other blood products is basically a kind of a life-saving intervention. Now there are risks of many adverse events which are associated with the donation and the transfusion of the blood and the blood products. And these can be very dangerous to the patients. These include all kind of reactions, incidents, errors, deviations from the standard operating procedures, accidents which are related to the blood donation and the transfusion. Talking about the term hemovigilance, the word heme is basically derived from the Greek word heme, that means blood, and vigilance is a Latin word which means watchfulness. So we can get a definition of hemovigilance very nicely now. A set of surveillance procedures covering the whole transfusion chain, beginning from the collection of the blood and its components to follow up of the recipients. The main intention is to collect and access the information which is unwanted, unexpected, undesirable, and the consequences resulting from the therapeutic use of these labile drug products, and also prevent the recurrence, the occurrence, and the recurrence. So all in all, it means that we have to improve the safety profile of this whole procedure of the blood transfusion. Now coming over to a little peeping into the history part so that we can understand more about the origin of the hemovigilance. The first and foremost, the concept was introduced around in 1990, so it's a very recent project. Initially, the work was done in France and there was a development of blood transfusion committee. Later on, there was a development of European Hemovigilance Network in 1998. Now, what is the current status? We can say that there is an International Hemovigilance Network, that is capital IHN, which is functioning with the objective to organize and maintain the safety of the blood, its components, the blood transfusion, and all the medicines which are involved in the hemovigilance throughout the world. So this is a big network throughout the world. And it works in very close connection with the International Society of Blood Transfusion so that it can get better results. Now talking about the goal of the hemovigilance. Now since all we have known till now, we can very well visualize the goal of the hemovigilance as continuous quality improvement of the transfusion chain through the corrective and the preventive actions to improve the donor and the patient's safety, and also improve the process and the appropriateness of the transfusion. And also a very important goal is to reduce any kind of wastage, because that is also kind of a big alert and a big danger thing. Wastage of any kind of blood or blood products is also a very alarming situation. So we can say it works in a cyclical fashion, quality improvement cycle, and it resembles any kind of quality improvement cycle that we can think of. Now let's talk about the current status or the hemovigilance program of India. At present, in most of the developed countries, this program has been developed, and it can be under the control of regulators or medical societies or public health authorities. But what about the Indian status? So hemovigilance program of India, that is abbreviated as HVPI, this is the National Hemovigilance Program of India. It was launched on December 10, 2012 and was launched by the Indian Pharmacopoeia Commission in very close connection and association with the National Institute of Biologicals, which is present in Noida, Uttar Pradesh. And the basic goal was to have this hemovigilance was identified as a fundamental component of pharmacovigilance throughout the country, and it has been launched with a lot many aims. Now, what are the aims with which it was launched is, first of all, to monitor the transfusion reactions, then to create awareness among the various healthcare professionals, to generate the evidence-based recommendations, to communicate very well, finally, with all the stakeholders, to create all the links, whether they are national or international, and to advise the Central Drug Standard Control Organization, abbreviated as CDSCO, CDSCO, related to the safety-related regulatory decisions, so that it can take proper decisions. And for the same purpose, we have a software called HemoVigil. So this has been developed to collect and collaborate the data received from throughout the country. Now it has been enrolled in more than 300 medical colleges, and the coordinating center for this HemoVigilance program of India is the National Institute of Biologicals, abbreviated as NIB. It collects and analyzes the data throughout the country, and there can be different kind of reactions and scoring which are involved with this HemoVigil software in the HemoVigilance program. Based on the time of occurrence and the symptomatologies, the reactions can be immediate reaction after the blood transfusion, or they can be delayed reactions after the blood transfusions. What are the signs and symptoms of immediate reactions? Hemolysis, then non-hemolytic febrile transfusion reaction, allergic reactions, urticaria, anaphylaxis, erythema, transfusion in the acute lung injury. Then these are the immediate reactions. What about the delayed reactions? Hemolysis again, graft versus host disease, graft versus host disease, post-transfusion purpura, various kind of viral or microbiological transmissions, then incorrect blood component transfused, and related problems, alloimmunization also. Now, as far as the scoring for the severity is done, it is divided into 5 parts, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So, 0 means there is no sign of severity. 1 means there is immediate symptoms, but there is no danger to the health. They can be completely resoluted. There is complete resolution for such kind of immediate symptoms. Then, immediate symptoms with vital risk. There is risk to the patient. Then, third one is the prolonged morbidity, and fourth one is fatal condition. Similarly, they are scoring for the imputability, 0, 1, 2, 3. 0, there is no relation to imputability. 1, there is a possible relation. 2, likely relation. And 3, there is a sure relation, sure sign and symptom. Now, the question arises, how to report such kind of adverse drug reactions? Now, I've already told you, hemovigilance is basically a kind of a quality process. It needs improvement in the quality and safety of the blood transfusion. There is a very well-developed seven-step system which is involved in the reporting of the hemovigilance adverse drug reactions. Step 1, assessment or recognition of the occurrence. Step 2, reporting by using a reporting form and established criteria. Step 3, collection of data. Step 4, compilation by using some kind of predefined matrix. Step 5, evaluation according to the proper procedures, standard operating procedures and techniques. Step 6, having to draw a conclusion and giving a feedback to those who are concerned, and also publishing the whole thing. Step 7, preventive or corrective actions are taken and follow-up is done. So these are the essential 7 steps which are involved in how to reporting. Question. We can find the form of the hemovigilance available at nib.gov.in/hemovigilance, and that is TRRF form. Now, talking about the form looks something like this. I'll show you the bigger form also, but we should know the sections of the form first. Patient information, transfusion, product details, nature of the adverse reaction, then outcome of the adverse reaction, then reporter details, and the causality assessment. Now, I'll show you this diagram. This is a kind of organogram of the HemoVigilance program of India. So, it shows all the different kind of components or the units which are involved in this total HemoVigilance program of India. The National Coordinating Center, which is associated with National Institute of Biological, it is having the main key role of collection, collation and analysis of the hemovigilance data. It forwards it to the IPC, that is Indian Pharmacopoeia Commission. It compiles the data and sees for all the issues related to it. It monitors and functions the quality of the data. It reviews the completeness of the data quality. It prepares the standard operating procedures, that is guidelines, and also publishes the hemovigilance newsletters. And then they are communicated to the Hemovigilance Advisory Committee. What is the role of the IPC, that is National Coordinating Center? It forwards all the recommendations of the NCC to DCGI, CDSCO. And then DCGI, CDSCO, it formulates the safety-related regulatory decisions and communicates them to all the key stakeholders like blood banks, healthcare professionals, etc. Now, as we know all these things, we are actually having a question in our mind of how to assess the success of the hemovigilance program. Well, there are different kind of criteria from the organizational point of view and from the operational point of view. Talking about the different criteria from the organizational point of view, it should be efficient, adequately restored. It should be efficiently, adequately resourced, and it should be sustainable. Then there should be a learning culture. There should be maintenance of confidentiality. It is actually an integral part of the healthcare system. There should be traceability from the blood donor and the blood unit to the recipient and the vice versa position. The standards and definitions should align with the international standards. There should be involvement of education, training, and feedback reporting to the stakeholder community. So these are all the criteria of the success from the organizational point of view. As far as the operational point of view is concerned, it should be very simple to use. The reporting form should be very clear. They should not be very complicated. There should be written standard operating procedures, and timely reporting of the trends should be done. There should be expert analysis, mechanisms to monitor the implementation of the corrective and the preventive actions should be done in a timely manner, and they should all demonstrate the improved safety and the clinical outcomes properly. Now, next question arises, what can be the various challenges in the hemovigilance program of this, whatever we are following at the national or the international level, whatever level it is followed? So definitely, every kind of program launched has not many problems, and there are numerous problems which are related to the hemovigilance program also at all the levels. Institutional level, regional level, national level, international level. And these problems can sometimes be overcome, sometimes they are worked upon, sometimes they are sorted out, sometimes they are left for discussion. There's also a lot of lacunas, loopholes, cavities which need to be worked upon as far as related to the definitions, terminology, standardization, matrix, uniformity, fundings, unclear mandates, assigning of the responsibilities, lower level of sensitivities, insufficient training, education, and there's a lot of hesitation in the personnel to move forward and to implement some really strong, serious actions. So these are all the basic problems that are dealt with in day-to-day form with hemovigilance program. Now I'm going to talk about the material vigilance program of India. Now I'm going to talk about the material vigilance. Talking about the introductory aspect of the material vigilance, many medical devices, they are used for medical purposes, and now they are inseparable part of the healthcare system. Now these health products or devices, they have a well-known role in the diagnosis, prevention, monitoring, and the treatment of the disease. And the manufacturing should be in a way that they should pose no risk to the health of the patient. Now, we should know what to notify. Depending upon the Article 10 European Medical Device Directive, that is MDD, the incidents that can be notified are any kind of malfunction or deterioration in the characteristics or performance of any kind of medical device, any kind of labeling inaccuracy, any kind of instruction implementation inaccuracy, which can prove sometimes to be very serious, dangerous, and fatal to the life of the patient. Now let's talk about the medical device. What tool can you consider a medical device? So any instrument, apparatus, or implement, machine, appliance, and plant, reagent for in vitro use, any software, material, or similar related article also intended by the manufacturer to be used. It can be used alone, it can be used in combination for the human beings for specific purposes. Now, what are the specific purposes of using medical devices that I have enlisted here? For the diagnosis, prevention, monitoring, treatment, and suppressing of the disease or any kind of injury. For the investigation, replacement, modification or support of anatomy or physiological processes. It is used for the control of the conception also. It can be used for disinfection of the medical devices. For the aids of the person with disabilities. It helps in providing the information by means of in vitro examinations. Then there are devices for incorporated into human or animal tissues, which are involved in vitro fertilization, different kind of reproduction techniques, etc. Now, based on this, the medical devices, they are classified based on the risk. They are divided into three classes: class 1, low risk; class 2, medium risk; and class 3, very high risk. So low risk can be confirmed, that is class 1 can be confirmed at the manufacturer level, but for the high risk, special regulatory bodies, they need to confirm the use and the safety of these medical devices. After knowing all these components, aspects and basics, we can very well define the material vigilance. So what is material vigilance? Vigilance is, I told you in Latin, means watchfulness or close monitoring. So material vigilance is the study of the adverse events associated with the use of medical devices and adverse events. It deals with the close monitoring of the medical devices after the post-marketing phase. And what is the basic aim? The basic aim is to have data collection, evaluation in a very proper systemic manner so that regulatory decisions and recommendations are done on the safe use of medical devices. It also, one of the most important aim is to create awareness among the stakeholders, healthcare professionals, about the importance of the medical devices, about the occurrence of the adverse events that are related to the medical devices, and also to monitor the benefit risk ratio or profile of the medical devices. Talking a little about the background or the history, historical aspect of the material vigilance, there have been many horrific incidences related to the malfunctioning of the medical devices, power cut, etc., which have led to fatal incidences of the all the age groups, especially the infants, then elderly people. And they have been actually not be able to survive also. All these incidents have led to the essence and very important need of developing a material vigilance program in all the nations. So now I'm going to talk about the material vigilance program of India. That is abbreviated as MVPI. This was launched by DCGI on July 6, 2015. At the Indian Pharmacopoeia Commission, Ghaziabad. This IPC only works as the National Coordination Center for MVPI. There are other bodies also, which I will tell you. Sri Chitra Tirunal Institute for Medical Sciences and Technologies, that is SCTIMST. It is situated in Thiruvananthapuram. It acts as a National Collaborating Center. Then National Health System Resource Center, that is NHSRC, it is situated in New Delhi. It is a technical support partner, and the Central Drug Standard Control Organization, CDSCO, in New Delhi, it supports the MVPI as a national regulator. What is the main aim of MVPI in India is basically to collect the data on medical device related adverse events, analyze them scientifically, systematically, properly, and aid in the regulatory decisions and the recommendations on the safe use of medical devices. Now, I can talk about the scope and the objectives of the MVPI. Especially MVPI means in India, to create a nationwide system of vigilance on medical device related adverse events. Then to capture and record all kind of medical device related adverse events and reactions. To identify and analyze new signal from the reported cases, both related to active and passive surveillance, to analyze the benefit risk ratio causality assessment of the medical devices, to generate the evidence based information on the safety of medical devices and generate medical device related alerts for the healthcare professionals, to support the regulatory agencies, in our case it is CDSCO, to have proper decision making, to communicate all these things properly with the stakeholders, and the risk should be minimized. The basic aim is to emerge as a national center of excellence for the material vigilance activities. And it can be only done with proper collaboration, creating of awareness among the healthcare professionals, providing proper education and training regarding the reporting systems, and support each other across the globe and also inside the nation. Now I'm going to talk about there are different roles and responsibilities which are allotted to the IPC, which works as NCC. SCG, IMST works as National Collaboration Center. Then NHSRC works as a technical support partner, and MDNCs, they work at the lowest level. So I'm going to show you a diagram and then I'm going to explain you what are the different roles and responsibilities. First of all, talking about the Indian Pharmacopoeia Commission, it works as a national coordination center. Now you can just look at the diagram and you can correlate what am I saying. The main responsibilities of NCC is to coordinate with all the partners. It organizes various meetings and it recognizes the new medical device adverse event monitoring centers, that is MDMCs, which are in the public hospitals, private hospitals all across the country. Then it also handles the recruitment processes. It also is involved in data collection, analysis, signal detection, and also the outcome analysis. Then publication and dissemination of the standard operating procedures is done by IPC. It also reports all the issues to CDSCO. It collaborates with the international authorities. Then it also issues alerts time to time. It provides financial supports to the other bodies like SCT, IMST, NHSRC, and MDMCs. Now coming over to the roles and responsibilities of the National Collaborating Center, that is SCT, IMST. Its basic responsibility is to collaborate with the NCC, that is IPC, for further follow-up analysis in case of any kind of serious adverse drug reaction. It's also gives technical support for organizing programs. It provides research and development testing support. Then it also helps in the release of medical device alerts. What are the roles and functions of the NHSRC? That is National Health System Resource Center. The most important one, it works as a technology division. It provides technical support, guidance on the preparation of the standard operating procedures. It also helps support to identify the new MDMCs. And then coming over to the MDMCs, that is the lowest level body. Each MDMC, that is Medical Device Adverse Event Monitoring Center, is assigned with a coordinator and a research associate. So coordinator function is to send the consolidated monthly report of the MDMC to the NCC, that is IPC. And the research associate is responsible to collect and follow the medical device adverse events. And they have to be sent to the IPC for review and analysis. Then feedback is also involved. It has to be given to the healthcare professionals. And that is to be sent by the coordinator. Now coming over to the last query. Who can report? Why to report? What to report? How and whom to report? So who can report? The Material Vigilance Program of India says clinician, biomedical engineers, clinical engineers, hospital technology managers, pharmacists, nurses, technicians, all can report medical device adverse events. Even the manufacturers, the medical device importers, traders, they can also report. And they have to report them to the National Collaboration Center, SCT, IMST. Now, why to report? The next question is why to report? Because they have been associated with so many adverse events which have been very dangerous and fatal to the life of individual patients. So it is a responsibility as being a stakeholder that we should report the adverse events associated with the use of medical devices and work for the safety of the public. Now next question, what to report? Any type of adverse event, whether it is known, unknown, serious, non-serious, rare, common, frequent, any kind of adverse event related to the medical devices can be reported. How and whom to report? The medical device adverse event reporting form is available at ipc.gov.in, and the research associates from the medical device event monitoring centers, they fill this form and submit it to the National Collaboration Center, that is SCTIMST. So, talking about the conclusion. As far as the hemovigilance is concerned, a well-established national hemovigilance system actually demands for active participation. And participation is encouraged by the ease of the reporting. So if the reporting is easy, then there is active participation. It should be in the form of simple forms, online reporting. Then confidence should be there in the people who are reporting. And that contributes to the better safety profile and improvement. And assurance for the confidentiality of the patient also encourages them to report better. There should be a strong network. A strong network in hemovigilance is very important. It should be hemovigilance activity should be implemented at all the institutional level. There should be proper facilities, and the local system need to be developed within the national framework. And as far as the material vigilance is concerned, I would just say the medical devices all over the world, they are regulated by the specific rules. So we know that post-marketing surveillance, its basic aim is to reduce the risk associated with the use of medical devices. So if we report the adverse events related to the medical devices, they will actually provide a kind of valuable information, and future incidences, dangerous incidences can be prevented. So there is a lot of diversity, complexity in the medical devices. So there should be standard procedures to notify the incidents to the authorities. To enhance the efficiency, there should be a medical device vigilance system. The reporting of the incident should be very well encouraged. And with this comment, I would like to conclude my talk. And that's the basic and the overview of the hemovigilance and the material vigilance. Especially as far as the Indian perspective is concerned, I've covered a lot of details in both the programs.